Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, Lord.
As Jesus passed by, he saw a blind man from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, "Neither he nor his parents sinned. It is so that the works of God might be made visible through him. We have to do the works of the one who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world." When he had said this, he spat on the ground, made clay with the saliva, and smeared the clay on his eyes and said to him, "Go wash in the pool of Siloam," which means sent. So he went and washed and came back able to see. His neighbors and those who had seen him earlier as a beggar said, "Isn't this the one who used to sit and beg?" Some said, "It is," but others said, "No, he just looks like him." He said, "I am." So they said to him, "How were your eyes opened?" And he replied, "The man called Jesus made the clay and anointed my eyes and told me, 'Go to Siloam and wash.' So I went there and washed and was able to see." And they said to him, "Where is he?" And he said, "I don't know." They brought the one who was once blind to the Pharisees. Now Jesus had made clay and opened his eyes on a Sabbath. So then the Pharisees also asked him how he was able to see. And he said to them, "He put clay in my eyes and I washed and now I can see." So some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God because he does not keep the Sabbath." But others said, How can a sinful man do such signs?" And there was a division among them. So they said to the blind man again, "What do you have to say about him, since he opened your eyes?" He said, "He is a prophet." Now the Jews did not believe that he had been blind and gained his sight until they summoned the parents of the one who had gained his sight. And they asked them, "Is this your son, who you say was born blind? How does he now see? His parents answered and said, "We know that this is our son and that he was born blind. We do not know how he sees now, nor do we know who opened his eyes. Ask him, he is of age. He can speak for himself." His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jews. For the Jews had already agreed that if anyone acknowledged him as the Christ, he would be expelled from the synagogue. For this reason, his parents said, "He is of age, question him." So a second time, they called the man who had been blind and said to him, "Give God praise. We know that this man is a sinner." He replied, "If he is a sinner, I do not know. One thing I do know is that I was blind and now I see." So they said to him, "What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" And he answered them, "I told you already and you did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you want to become his disciples too?" They ridiculed him and said, "You are that man's disciple. We are disciples of Moses. We know that God spoke to Moses, but we do not know where this one is from." The man answered and said to them, "This is what is so amazing, that you do not know where he is from, yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners, but if one is devout and does his will, he listens to him. It is unheard of that anyone ever opened the eyes of a person born blind. If this man were not from God, he would not be able to do anything." They answered and said to him, "You were born totally in sin. You are trying to teach us?" Then they threw him out. When Jesus heard that they had thrown him out, he found him and said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" He answered and said, "Who is he, sir, that I might believe in him?" Jesus said to them, "You have seen him, and the one speaking to you is he." He said, "I do believe, Lord," and he worshiped him. Then Jesus said, "I came into this world for judgment, so that those who do not see might see, and those who do see might become blind." Some of the Pharisees who were with him heard this and said to him, "Surely we are not also blind, are we?" And Jesus said to them, "If you were blind, you would have no sins. But now you are saying, 'We see,' so your sin remains." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Mary Magdalene, where my daughter goes, and I've been to many masses there. Father Teo has a saying. He says that short gospel, long homily. Long gospel, long homily. Well, I assure you, this won't be that long. You'll notice that the priest is wearing rose, one of their favorite colors. They only wear it twice a year, the middle of Advent and the middle of Lent. So we're just past the halfway point. And so take a moment today, sort of reassess where you've been this Lent. If you've done a good job, pat yourself on the back. If you haven't done such a hot job, then reassess and promise that you'll try to get closer to the Lord in the coming weeks, and especially in Holy Week. When I used to live in Pittsburgh before I came here in 2009, I belonged to a small parish called St. Barbara's, and we had a pastor there named Father Kohler, who was affectionately known as Speedy. And he was Speedy because his homilies on Sundays seldom took more than 6 or 7 minutes. But that's not why I remember him. He had a habit of beginning every homily by putting into plain English what his message for the day was. It was really clear. And then he would end every homily by telling us again what that message was. It's one of the few times in my life that I could say every Sunday when I got in my car in the parking lot to drive home, I could tell you what the priest had said during his homily. So I'm going to give you the message for this Sunday, and it comes in the form of a question and a challenge. Will you be Christ's light of love to this weary world? Will you be Christ's light of love to this weary world? In today's gospel, Jesus declares, "While I am in the world, I am the light of the world." But when Jesus left this world, his light was not snuffed out. No, he sent the Holy Spirit at Pentecost to the apostles with tongues of fire, tongues of light, to keep that light going. And they didn't let it get snuffed out either. They passed it on, excuse me, over the centuries, over the millennia, through priests, deacons, and other religious. But not just these ordained were to be carriers of the light. No, Christ also meant for all of us, all of his followers, and especially the laity, you guys, to be beacons of love to the world in which you live. Remember, Jesus himself was a layman. That means each and every one of us are called to this task. But do we realize this? Do we know what to do? In the first chapter of John's Gospel, we hear, quote, "What came to be through him was life, and this life was the light of the human race. And that light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it," unquote. What Jesus created, who Jesus created, was mankind, you and I. We are those that are chosen to carry the light to this dark world. But as bearers of Jesus' light, we carry an awesome responsibility. That light Jesus gives us is his love, God's love. And our task is to spread that love, that light, throughout the entire world. We are to be God's beacons, to guide those who we meet safely back to God, our God, their God, even if they don't know him. What will you do? What will we do with that light? Will we cover it up? Will we be ashamed to let it shine through us, thinking the world will think somehow less of us? Will we be ashamed of Jesus and his message of love? Or will we be hoarders, keeping it all to ourselves, afraid to give it away lest we lose it? But as Jesus directed us, we have to give it away so it could come back to us 100-fold. These past weeks in Lent, Jesus has been telling his disciples repeatedly that he has to go up to Jerusalem where he'll be beaten, spat upon, and crucified. Jesus died out of love for us. His death lights our path to heaven, a path that was in pitch darkness from the time of Adam, such darkness that no one could traverse it. But the cross is only the beginning, because we know that he rose again as the perfection of God within man, and he will send and does send all of us to bring this message to the world. Jesus might say to each and every one of us if he were here today, quote, "I have set you free to be lights to each other, to have me with you, within you, giving you counsel, help in all that you face, and most of all, giving you so much love that you won't be able to hold it in." You will become distributors of this life-giving love, my life-giving love, so that from one tiny candle, all the world will become ablaze in the love of the Father, the love of creation, the love of forgiveness. And don't worry how you'll be able to be this light, this gift of love, as I, your Savior, will always be there standing alongside you, ready to hold you up if and when that time is needed. Like David, so often the least likely to be something great are the very ones whose light will shine the brightest. We, you and I, can be David's. In fact, we are David's. God has called each and every one of us to be his representative to the world. This is not the job just of priests, deacons, and religious. Sure, they wear the mantle for others to see, but like David, so often the real heroes are walking among their peers, unobtrusive, unheralded, but doing the work of the new evangelization in the way and by the way they live. We saw the works and wonders of God made known through the blind man in today's gospel. In today's world, we are that blind man. We are to be God's instrument to bring light, to bring love to others. God uses us as we are. He took the earth and spat on it, and we are made of that very earth, recalling the words of Ash Wednesday, "Remember, man, that you are dust." Know that your task won't be an easy one. You will meet resistance, just as the healed blind man did. Well, the Pharisees weren't so much against the blind man as they were against Jesus, the Christ that healed him. As the hands of Christ, expect pushback from the world. The forces of evil are strong, and will take much faith on your part to stand up to them. But you are never alone when you act as the light of Christ. But you'll ask, what does this light of Christ bring to the world? Well, first off, it allows us to see the truth, God's plan for the world, his plan for each and every one of us. Second, it energizes us so that we might grow in love, because without this light, we would surely perish. Thirdly, this light gives warmth, turning cold hearts into loving, all-embracing hearts, hearts that would do anything for their brethren, their brothers and sisters who are also God's children. This light gives us a sense of oneness, as we will see ourselves united to all those who profess Christ crucified and the Redeemer of the world. How do we prepare ourselves for this calling? To be a light to others, we must burn, we must be on fire with the love of God. We must foster that love through prayer. Ask yourselves, do you speak to God first thing each morning, asking him to help you to know and do his will that day? And do you get on your knees the last thing at night, thanking him for being with you that day and asking for forgiveness for those times when your will superseded his will? And do you remember him every now and then during the day, if only to say, Jesus, I love you. Please stay by me today. Secondly, do we spend quiet time with the Lord, if only for 5 or 10 minutes a day, listening to him, listening for his gentle whisper? And do we spend time in spiritual reading? Just last week, Pope Francis said we should check our Bible as often as we check our cell phones. Think about it. And we should frequent the confessional, a source not only of forgiveness, but of strength, giving grace. You know, it seems that the world has lost its sense of sin and doesn't know when it's turning away from God. Recently, there was a parish in this very deanery that held a Lenten reconciliation service, and they had 6 priests ready and willing to give God's forgiveness. You know how many people showed up? 12. Yeah, 12. We've lost our sense of sin. Most of all, we should strive to get to Mass and receive Christ's life-giving, light-giving body and blood as often as possible. If we do these things, then we surely will be prepared to go into the world and teach others Christ's way by our lives, our words, and how we relate to others, our family, our friends, our co-workers, and yes, strangers and even new immigrants. Then we will truly be lights to a darkened world. Friends, this world is in turmoil. The age of relativism has sought to define reality in terms of each person's own little sphere of interest. It's lost its sense of wonder in God, a loving God, who created us out of that love and wants nothing more than to share that love with us for all eternity. The world has chosen darkness, and we are all that remain to bring light, to bring truth, to bring hope and real purpose to that world. But don't think you have to do it alone. Even in his agony on that cross, Jesus lovingly looked down upon us and gave us his human mother so that we might stay connected to him. And through Mary, we can find human connection to God for those we meet. Just by a smile, a kind word, a good deed unbidden, you can be a light to dispel another's darkness. My dear friends, you have the power, you have the ability, and you have the opportunity. All you need is the desire, the drive, and the will. So I'll ask you once more, will you be Christ's light of love to this weary world? Amen.